talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And a sad thing that I want to acknowledge, the passing of former Governor Tony Earle. Tony Earle was a friend of mine. He's a very, very good man. He was an excellent governor. Tony Earle was elected governor in 1982 when I was the chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We worked together very closely. When he left the governorship in 86, Tommy Thompson had defeated him. And there was no, what I would say, overriding issue in the defeat. One of the things I do remember was back then there was a proposal to put a youth prison in Milwaukee, which is going on right now. But in those days, of course, people whose relatives of kids who were in detention had to go hours to go visit them up in elsewhere outside of Milwaukee. And Tony, one of the plans that was being looked at was to put this prison for youth right near the Brewer Stadium, Milwaukee County Stadium back then. And that was very unpopular. And a lot of people said to Tony, well, why don't we put it, you know, down in Racine County or something? It's very close. You could have buses take people there, be just as good. And that got kicked around. And Tommy Thompson did an ad showing a prison coming out of the sky, like, you know, some hand coming out of the sky, plunking it next to the Brewer Stadium. And of course, that went over like a lead balloon. And that was just one of the things. I won't get into the whole postmortem. After Tony left the governorship, he joined the law firm I was at, and we were law partners for a long time. He was a wonderful man. When I ran for governor in 2018, he endorsed me, and I'm very grateful to him. And it was a privilege and a pleasure to work with him. He's one of the finest human beings I've ever met in politics. So rest in peace, Tony. Rest in peace, my friend. I want to talk about Ukraine. Today is the one-year anniversary of the genocidal sadist Putin invading Ukraine. You know, you hear foreign policy experts go, well, you know, Putin was afraid of this, he was afraid of that, afraid of NATO moving in, want to restore the empire and this, that, and the other thing. The fact is that Putin and the oligarchs steal. They steal about 80% of the surplus wealth of Russia, and people are growing restive. And one way to somehow merge you with the state, somehow gin up public support, is to find an external enemy. And this is what he did. I don't think he has a principal bone in his body. I don't think he gives a rat's patoot about empire, no empire, or anything else. He cares about stealing money and staying in power. Let's go over briefly the present status and my idea, quite frankly, of what I think Joe Biden should be doing. He's done a magnificent job, by the way. Rallied France and Germany, who are recalcitrant, as well as the rest of NATO, has built up NATO in a fighting force against Russia and fought off the isolationist attacks in the Republican Party, and has made the United States the principal supplier of Ukraine. It's terrific. There is a split going on right now in the Republican Party. The leaders of the Republican Party are wobbly. They're either isolationists or hate Ukraine. Hate Ukraine would be Tucker Carlson, isolationist and attack Ukraine, and praise Putin, Donald Trump. Crooked Mike Pompeo, back in February as they were invading, said he respected Putin. Trump said that Putin's a genius, getting all that real estate for a few bucks in sanctions. You have all that, but now, disturbingly, DeSantis is getting wobbly and trying to be isolationist like Trump, saying that we've got to look at what we're giving to Ukraine. Maybe we shouldn't give them any or as much anymore, that kind of thing. You have Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, a total of 11 Republicans saying cut off aid to Ukraine. This happened in the 1930s when the Nazis were rising in Europe, and you had isolationists, really deeply anti-American isolationists like this now, trying to get in Roosevelt's way, stopping Lend-Lease to Great Britain, that kind of thing. Didn't work. Roosevelt was a great president. It's not going to work now. Biden's a great president. Now, a year later, Putin has lost, either wounded or killed, about 200,000 people, soldiers. He travels by armored train. He's afraid to get in an airplane or a helicopter. He knows people are out to assassinate him, and that's just his own kind. That's just some of the other oligarchs. That's just some of the generals. So you don't know what car he's in. He can go in between cars. I think his location should be publicized to the Ukrainians at all time and to the Chechenians who are fighting on behalf. There are two Chechenian elements. The worst, Ramzan Kartikov, is a jihadist terrorist. He's fighting on Putin's side, but there is a resistance in Chechnya. Make Ramzan Kartikov's location known at all times to them and Putin's as well, hoping that somebody will bump these people off. Putin tried to launch a Saramat missile, an ICBM, that would have reached the United States. Obviously, he wasn't going to do it on this launch and show the United States. And it malfunctioned right in the launch pad. When I say they steal 80% of the wealth of Russia, it shows up in their defense expenditures. You know, they'll have invoices for 100 tanks, but there's only 10 tanks going, and the money for the other 90 go in Putin's pocket and the oligarch's pocket. And this is true of medical supplies, true of ammunition, rifles, shells, so forth. That is actually going on as we speak right now, and it's still going on. Now, a couple of things. Where is the Republican Party going to be going with this? Right now, these expenditures can come from Joe Biden by executive order, and he's the commander in chief. If a Republican were ever in there, remember that Donald Trump said he was going to pull us out of NATO. He kept saying, what if we go out of NATO? What if we go out of NATO? And there was a very real feeling on the part of our military leadership that if he'd been reelected, he would have yanked us out. And the Russians would now be in Belarus, Moldova, Ukraine, and nibbling away at Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Fortunately, there was a vote in the UN the other day, 141-6, with 32 abstentions, blasting Russia, saying leave Ukraine, 141-6, but 32 abstentions. The six were Belarus, North Korea, Syria, Eritrea, Mali, Nicaragua. Nicaragua is now, like Cuba and Venezuela, almost a communist state. Mali has the Wagner Group in there killing the natives and the population in that country on behalf of the government. Eritrea is a basket case in northern Africa. North Korea is a basket case. Syria is a basket case. Belarus is scared to death. Documents just leaked showing that Russia has a plan to annex Belarus. And Lukashenko sucks up to Putin, but if that were to happen, he'd be toast. A couple of other things. Two of the people, countries that abstained were China and India. And they're playing both ends against the middle. We treat them very well. We have a lot of students that come here from communist China and from India. I think it's time for Biden you can do it by phone, tell them, China, if you send arms, to Russia to fight in Ukraine, India, if you keep avoiding our sanctions, which they are doing, appearing with Putin and saying you're neutral, there will be no more visas for your students. We don't need them. The Chi-Coms that come over come to steal IT and to spy on us. And China has set up police stations, they call them. So far, it's in the Netherlands. They try to do one in Ohio. It didn't work, ostensibly to, quote, support, end quote, Chi-Com students over here. In fact, what they do is they keep an eye on them, and they have their relatives back home. So if they demonstrate against China or say anything wrong, their relatives are hostage. I think it's time to get tough with these people. In India, India is a friendly country. But India is playing both ends against the middle. Modi, the head guy, the president over there, is not trustworthy at all. And I think a little general reminder, your students are over here on visas, Jack, and those visas can be recalled, and they will be recalled. Biden announced new Russian sanctions on manufacturing, banks, mining. He also is sanctioning companies in the United Arab Emirates and Switzerland. Switzerland is sneaky as hell, and they sneak around their obligations and avoid sanctions. And they've got to be sanctioned. They've got to be sanctioned. The leaked documents I talked about not only showed that Russia is intending to annex Belarus, but also to attack Moldova. And the icing on the cake is Ted Cruz, crooked Ted Cruz in Texas, just gave an interview mocking support for Ukraine and comparing the Ukrainian flag to a COVID mask. What should be done with all this? Now, we're going to a break, and I'll tell you what should be done for all this. Joe, get them F-16s and get them 190-mile HIMARS and bomb the hell out of Russians in Crimea, on the Black Sea, and anywhere they're launching missiles. You have got to get them immediately much higher weaponry. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. God's gonna cut them down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Sturdy old part of the city. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, feed the beast or be eaten by it. Feed the beast or be eaten by it. It's coming out now why Kevin McCarthy leaked those 40,000 plus hours of surveillance video to Tucker Carlson, who's a modern Axis Sally, Tokyo Rose, drain the country. Why did he do it? Here's why he did it. He had apparently promised the crazies, the treason caucus within the Republican caucus, the Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greens, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, the rest of them, all of these people, the treason caucus, he had promised them that he would reopen the January 6th investigation as to what happened and come out with a report that said that these were not Trump supporters. These were Antifa, false flag by the FBI, whatever, 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 whatever. They thought that would be a good idea. They thought that would be play real well in their home districts in Georgia, Florida, Arizona, and elsewhere. But Kevin McCarthy wasn't born yesterday. He's read the polls, and he knows that if there was another January 6th investigation that tried to whitewash it, it would destroy the Republican Party. So his idea was betray the security of the Capitol and the security of the United States and turn over 40,000 plus hours of surveillance video to a treasonous, unreliable, lying anchor, Tucker Carlson, who nevertheless appears to have a lot of influence in a very small part of the Republican Party. and let him do it. And he will have his hacks at Fox News, who already are being sued for $1.5 billion by Dominion for lying about their voting machines. And they had to turn over texts and emails that said that they all laughed at it, knew it was fraudulent, and went on the air and said it anyway. That's a classic malice, classic intent, classic invitation to sue even a public figure for large dollars. They did it intentionally. And this guy, Kevin McCarthy, is turning this over to the guy who lied so he can turn to the Treason Caucus in the Republican Party and say, hey, wait, no, I'm doing the January 6th investigation. Tucker Carlson will take care of it. And why is he sucking up to the Treason Caucus? Because you remember, they wouldn't vote for him unless he agreed to change the rules so that any one nut in the House can call a vote on the speakership, any one. And he can only lose 5 votes because it's a very, very tight margin. And if you think that Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, a lot of these other sociopaths is essentially what they are. They have absolutely no regard for the interests of the United States. They have absolutely no regard for the national security. There's also the crowd, 11 of them, who said, cut Ukraine off, let Putin do whatever he wants. All Trump followers. These are the people who would vote. And you think there are 5 votes among those 11? Plus there's some others who weren't part of the 11? And he wouldn't be speaker. And that's what's going on. Now, Carlson is going to revive the charge of a stolen election. People are so tired of that, so beyond that. Every poll shows that. That's going to be death for the Republican Party. Death for the Republican Party. And he's going to do it right in the middle of being sued by Dominion for lying about their voting machines. Then the rabble in the Republican Party will have to sign on to what he's saying, because if they don't, all he has to do is raise an eyebrow or say something bad about him, and they are in tough shape in their own primaries. That's what's going on. And this video is being screened right now by staffers at Fox News. I'm not sure why Biden doesn't just classify it. Now, you may say there's a separation of powers issue there. Well, yes and no. He's the president of the United States. May not have occurred to him. He may think that effectively it's not going to hurt as much as I'm afraid it might, and that maybe somehow they'll look bad. There's a lot of calculus that goes into this, and I respect that. But the fact of the matter is, if I were the president, I'd classify it. I'd flat out classify it. I send the FBI to Fox and get it back. I tell McCarthy, don't ever try anything like that again. It's classified. Why is it classified? Because it shows everything about access to the Capitol. And once it's in the hand, non-secure hands of a journalist, it will end up in Russia, because Tucker Carlson is on Russian state TV several times a week. They keep running his show to make it look like the United States is on Russia's side, or at least a big bunch of us are. If it's on Russian TV, ISIS is going to see it. The Chi-Coms are going to see it. The NORCs are going to see it. People in Venezuela, Iran, people in Cuba. Why are we giving them a blueprint to our capital? Why are we doing that? We're doing it because Kevin McCarthy is chicken, and he's afraid of losing the speakership. That's why we are doing it. And if you think that this is kind of an idle concern, Scott Perry, remember him? Guy from Pennsylvania, right-wing nut, who introduced Trump to that compliant attorney general who was going to say there was fraud in Georgia. Scott Perry now has brought an action to stop the feds from looking at the contents of his phone that they got from him. You know what they did? It was terrific. They walk right up to him. They said, give me your phone. Maybe it was in his hand. They grabbed it out. They had a warrant. They could. Now he's going speech and debate clause, speech and debate clause. Well, speech and debate clause, how about speech and debate clause about the security of the Capitol? How about that? About what secure room the speaker goes to and the minority leader goes to. How about that? Well, that's okay. But this clown, and on that phone, has nothing to do with speech and debate clause. He met and texted with Trump, and it's how to overturn the election with fake electors. It's not speech and debate clause, but you want speech and debate clause, I'll give you some speech and debate clause. How about the physical configuration, the Capitol itself? I see you on the line. Do not hang up. Go on a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Get back to you right after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jean?
Good afternoon, Matt. Great show as usual. Learning more than we need. Why? Sometimes I'll tell you, I've been going through all my packets of notes that I've been taking from all the different things going on in our government. It's like I got three big bundles. It's unbelievable, and there's more and more coming every day, and it's like, you know, you'd think that our country would start to get on the right path when we got a really great president and people leading in our state too, but we still have a gall darn clear and present danger looming over us every gall darn day. And I don't know what's the matter with McCarthy, but there's something wrong with his head. He's either a dereliction of duty or abuse of power. What in the world is he trying to prove by giving those videotapes to Tucker Carlson, when Tucker Carlson and those guys really should be put in prison for the lie and the rumors that they spread and the fraudulent information when they knew it was a lie? It's unbelievable, Matt. I mean, I couldn't even see this in a movie. I think someday they're going to make a movie, and hopefully if we still have a democracy in our country, a movie made like this, I'll think, who in the devil were those people that let this go on? What is wrong with our country?
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you something that will really make you feel good about McCarthy and the rest of them. And I'm being facetious, and you won't believe this, but this is what's going on. On the debt limit, you've known, and I've talked about this before, that on the debt limit, the Republicans are saying we will not increase the debt limit and pay our bills unless you make a deal and cut spending. It turns out there's a third sub-caucus. We knew that there was a caucus that said you have got to make an accommodation, a very substantial one, and cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And Biden said, no way, we're not going to do that. Then there's another caucus within the Republican Party that says, okay, we will increase the debt limit only if you make some modest changes, and it doesn't have to be Social Security, it doesn't have to be Medicare. That's another caucus. And I thought, well, that ain't great, but Joe will, you know, take care of business and so on. It was just announced that there's a third group. They say that they will not vote to increase the debt limit no matter what. No matter what. You can cut Social Security, you can cut Medicare, you can cut everything else. They want to bring down the government. They think that the debt is so high that the only solution. Now, these are people who are members of Congress who are each voted on by constituencies of 750,000 people. That's roughly the number of voters, of electors, not electors, that's a term of art for presidential electors, so I'll say voters. For instance, the Congress people in Wisconsin, each one of them, their congressional district is somewhere between 700,000 and 800,000 people. That's a lot of people. And yet these clowns, there's a guy named Greg Pence, not Mike Pence, not the vice president, Greg Pence of Indiana and Burchett of Tennessee are the two ones who say, we're not going to vote to increase it at all. At all. At all. And then if you throw in there some others like the Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greens, Lauren Boberts, Paul Grossers, and the rest of them, you have a constituency in the Republican Party that are beyond crazy. They're no longer talking about, well, if you make these cuts, that'll appease me. You got to pay some ransom. What's the ransom? Okay, it'll be Medicare and Social Security. No, okay, it'll be, no, none of that. They're not going to do it. And you say to them, look, this debt limit is to pay bills that have already been incurred. Money that was already spent and the Congress voted for it. And they go, well, I didn't vote for it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be unanimous. The majority of the Congress voted for it, both chambers and the president at the time. And remember, Donald Trump added $7 trillion to our debt. $7 trillion out of 31. $7 trillion. Donald Trump alone. And what Joe Biden has done is reduced the deficit as opposed to the debt each year, because after the pandemic, we had to put money in to save the economy, and now it's coming down. And these clowns will not vote to honor bonds that were issued to pay off some debt that Donald Trump incurred on his watch. I'll tell you something. Say it right now. I've said it again. I've said it before. I'm going to say it in spades right now. The 14th Amendment has a clause that says that the obligations of the United States, there's full faith and credit to our obligations, and it shall not be called into question. Period. End of story. And I saw some interviews with this fellow Summers, who's an economist, and some other people, and they go, well, that's a last resort for Joe Biden just to do that as an executive order. What happens if the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court say he couldn't do it, even though the 14th Amendment says he can do it? Well, I got news for you. We are going to get down. This is almost March. It's almost March right now. March coming up in about a week, right? Less than a week. Almost March. By May or June, we are going to start to default on some bonds. Why is that? Because we are funding the government now by revenues that are coming in day by day. You know, what is this? Some kind of a secondhand clothing store or something? And day by day, something comes in. Oh, okay, come on. The stuff that comes in like that by May or June is going to be not enough to pay our bonds, that have already been issued. And people have paid good money for them. That is equivalent of you go charge something. Then when the bill comes in, you say, well, I want to do a second voter myself. I don't think I'm going to pay it. There is a caucus now in the Republican Party, and Pence of Indiana and Burchett of Tennessee are two of them, who say, we don't care what Biden does. We don't care if he eliminates Social Security and Medicare. We won't increase the national debt. We will drag us down in international standing. We're total isolationists. We don't care. Fortress America, build a wall around us. We're not going to send any arms to anybody. We're not going to spend any money. Hey, Jack, if that point of view prevailed, the international banking system would fall apart. You would find Russia in Eastern Europe. You would find China in Taiwan. You would find our ships under attack. These clowns are each voted on in congressional districts, and yet they're doing this. You may say, well, Matt, it's not going to get to Biden having to invoke the 14th Amendment. I hope you're right. Maybe you're right. There is another way to do it, with what's called a discharge petition. And that means that Hakeem Jeffries, our minority leader, who now has about 212 votes, roughly, and he needs 218 the 435 congressmen. He needs 218 to get something done. And the Republicans have a slim majority. As you go to some Republicans in states like New York, California, I hope Wisconsin, and who are saying, I don't know that we have any, quite frankly, but let's find out, and say, join me in a discharge petition. I have 212 votes. I need six of you guys, to increase the debt limit so that we can pay our bills. And I got news for you. If people in these states don't do that, there's got to be a revolution by the electors in those states. These are more moderate states. If you have people here in Wisconsin like Gallagher and Stile, down in Janesville in particular, obviously Fitzgerald and Tiffany are beyond redemption. Van Orden is just plain strange. I don't know anything about him much other than that. What I do know, I didn't think that he deserved to be in Congress, and I still believe that. But do we have anybody in this state who's going to stand up, even a Republican, and say, I'm not going to cave into this? There've got to be people in New York. There've got to be people in California. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. All roads lead back to Judge Janet P. Because if we can get some fair maps, I think we need five or six congressional seats to win back majority in the House, and that's not that many. And these people are off the rails. Not all of them, but the majority of them. The Republican Party is off the rails. So if you can get Judge Janet in there, that's one way of getting democracy back in the state of Wisconsin. We get fair congressional maps. You could very well win two more congressional seats in this state. So I can't stress to people how important it is in the state of Wisconsin, the state I love with all my heart. We need to get democracy back. And I'll just throw one other caveat in here. Today they found out, or this week, I guess it was earlier, eagles and birds have forever chemicals in them. And so we already know it's in fish, it's in drinking water, it's everywhere. And this, too, can be laid at the foot of the Republican Party. But mostly Judge Janet, hey, we got a congressional districts back. So with that, have a great Friday, Matt, and thanks for taking my call again.
Yeah, excellent call, Paul. Thank you. Let me hit both of your points. With regard to the forever chemicals, you're right. And not just eagles and birds, are going to be in deer. You know, a lot of animals that grouse, that turkeys that you're going to hunt. And what Paul is saying is true. If Judge Janet had been on the Supreme Court for the last 5 years, Fred Prem would never have stayed on the DNR. And with Tony Evers' appointment, they would have set standards for forever chemicals. Fred Prem, the dentist from Wausau, sat there deciding vote. You can put more chemicals into the water. And what do you think? You think animals don't drink the water? What do you think? If they drink bottled water, are you crazy? They go up to a river, they go up to a lake, they go up to a stream, and they drink. And it gets in their innards. Okay, that's what's happening. You're absolutely right. And the why Judge Janet is important, otherwise, getting her elected, is this. There will be another redistricting lawsuit. Judge Janet has said, bring it on. Bring it on. When I was the chairman, we had 9 congressional seats in the state, and 5 or 6 of them were Democratic. Now we have 8 of them, and 2 of them are Democratic. That's because of redistricting. If we had fair maps, there would be a Democrat down in the Janesville, Beloit, Racine, Kenosha area. That's where Les Aspin was. Tiffany wouldn't win in northern Wisconsin. Dave Obey was up there. And Van Orden would have a tough time because remember how bald this was over there. So there you have it. I mean, it's as simple as that. And that would flip at least 1 and maybe 2 seats in Wisconsin. You're absolutely right. But the other thing is, you know, depending on how things go in the 8th Senate district, if they get 2/3 of the vote of the senators and go ahead and impeach Josh Call and Tony Evers, the Supreme Court will decide whether they had the right to do that under the Constitution, because there are standards in which they have to follow. Clownface Kelly has already said that he looks on redistricting as a political issue, and he's, you know, he's on the payroll of the Republican Party. He was through December, and he may still be. I called to have him disclose, is anybody paying him retainers from the Republican Party or one of their PACs? But putting all that aside, if Judge Janet is on the Supreme Court, any impeachment attempt will be rebuffed. Anyone. It's unconstitutional. If she's not on the Supreme Court, they could come in and undo a gubernatorial election. We're going to a break. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. Get back to you right after the break. Brief break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This time I'm going to take it myself and put it right in her hand. And if it comes back the very next day, then I'll understand.
The writing on it.
Return.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines, I'm going to get you in order. There are two of you right now. I will get to you both easily. Do not hang up. Taking you in order, Jack of Milwaukee, my friend. You're first. What's on your mind today, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. I quick question. You started out your show about this. Kevin McCarthy are giving this videotape so that should be classified of how to break into the Capitol. Well, my question is this, isn't that a little bit foolhardy on his part? I mean, what if you have some outside terrorist group that knows this, and while they're having a session, he himself could be, couldn't he, a lot of the senators and politicians could be killed. I mean, I think that's kind of committing suicide. But anyway, that was my main question. So I'll take your answer off the air.
Yeah. And well, the answer is yes. And remember something. There are secret rooms in the Capitol where in the event of an emergency, an air attack or an insurrection, they immediately get the vice president, the speaker and the minority leader into those rooms. No one's supposed to talk about that, how they get there. All of this is on the surveillance video. Why the hell are we putting that out to Tucker Carlson, who has betrayed the country? He's pro-Putin. He appears on Russian state TV a couple times a week. And what? We're showing him the room that Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi went into and how it went? Or I don't know how you get in. I mean, this is absolutely madness, and he's doing it because he made a promise to the Treason Caucus, the 11 Yahoos who weren't going to vote for him, and said, I'll redo the January 6th insurrection investigation. Then he reads the polls and say, people are really beyond that, really beyond that. So he goes, well, Tucker Carlson can do it. And he gives it to Tucker Carlson, wipes his hands. Then the this Treason Caucus think that's great. Tucker Carlson only cares about ratings. Tucker Carlson, I've told you this before, if there were a declaration of war, and there's not right now, he'd be arrested. If we'd had Axis Sally and Tokyo Rose, we had Ezra Pound, he was arrested. Going to the lines, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Joe?
I wanted to commend to you your continuing flow of information that you provide for us. It's extremely helpful. And if people didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's show, I sure would recommend it because you dove quite deeply into what DeSantis is seeking to do in terms of freedom of the press with the legislation that he's proposing down in Florida and proposing that it would go immediately to a review by the Supreme Court. We know that the Supreme Court is very willing, or seemingly very willing, to jettison what we have with a free press. I would just commend folks to give a listen to that podcast. It was very helpful. And part of the reason why I bring it up is because you used at the end of that discussion yesterday, you repeated a phrase, and it's a really important one. It's not unlike your expression fashion, fascism creeps in on little cat feet. You said history is being made every minute. And I would offer, as we return to what Paul had to say, about Wisco Paul had to say about Judge Janet, yeah, if Judge Janet gets in here, we may have a chance to finally, within this state, after years, have maps that actually reflect what we have in terms of districts within this state. I find it comical that Mr. Republican Dan Kelly describes that redistricting as, quote, something that is, quote, just political. Fair maps are not political. They are what is in the title. Fair. And if there's anything that a Supreme Court justice should be looking for, it's fairness in every aspect of administration of the law. And for him to just jettison this by describing it as a political matter, well, one could also describe it as a moral matter. One could also describe it as a lot of things. But most importantly, redistricting is about fair maps. Fair for Republicans and fair for the Dems. It should be, you don't want gerrymandering on either side. You want to accurately reflect what people want in their state. And we are so far away from that now. So I wanted to thank you for bringing that phrase in, because we need to sort of be aware that every minute there are things going on that are determining our history, whether it be the lack of support by certain Republican congresspeople for the actions in Ukraine and what that may mean on a global stage, or whether it has to do with the Republicans saying, we're not going to pay our debts, and what that may mean to our standing within the financial world. We've had a good one, but boy, nothing's guaranteed. And if people are willing to erode it with such sorts of games, you know, who knows where we end up. So I just wanted to commend to your folks to listen to yesterday's podcast if they can, and also that phrase, that history is being made every minute, and thus we need to be aware of all these machinations that are going on. Thanks a lot, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Joe, for your great call, as always. And yeah, as far as the standard of suing the media, what DeSantis is doing, and what three of the justices, Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Gorsuch, have already signaled, is they want to change the standard. And you'll have billionaires funding these suits that are very expensive. And if you change the standard, you can have a guy like Trump. You can have DeSantis himself suing newspapers, especially small newspapers, for saying something bad about them and driving them out of business because they can't afford the attorney's fees. And Trump did this with the Rhinelander TV station here in Wisconsin a couple of years ago. He didn't drive them out of business, but they stopped running an ad, which was only his own words. That's all it was, without comment. And he forced them to do it. It's just wrong. And this is a beauty. DeSantis, there's a bill in Florida that he's about to sign, going to get rid of tenure in public universities. Get rid of tenure, for God's sake, interfering with the very soul of the university, and banning a major in gender studies. Now, you know, women's studies, whatever. Now, I'll be honest with you. I enjoy history. I enjoy a lot of subjects. I would not myself choose to major in gender studies, but it is absolutely wrong. It's absolutely a violation of the First Amendment to say to a student what you can major in. And gender studies, I've had nieces that majored in it. And there's a terrific program where they study history, they study sociology, political science, they study literature, philosophy. It's a terrific thing. This clown down there, is this bill will get rid of tenure and say they're going to decide what you can major in. This is not right. There's a huge demonstration going on. The kids down there aren't taking this lightly. I don't take it lightly. And yet in the recent polls, he's starting to creep up. We're going to talk about some of those polls next week. But he's a dangerous guy. Trump's a dangerous guy. We are in a dangerous period of time. And it is true that history is made every minute of the day. Till the end of the show. Great calls as always. Have a great weekend. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday.